The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 18, Texts 35-36, given by Dhanavir Das Vanachari on January 23, 1990, in Dallas, Texas.
Shukadeva Goswami said, "Dear King, the Supreme Lord in His Boar incarnation, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambudvip. There, in the tract of land known as Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Earth and all the other inhabitants worship Him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantra." Just a few comments. There's no purport, so I just have a few comments to make. The Mother Earth, it's fitting that she should worship Lord Boar. You know why? Yes, because when Mother Earth was thrown out of her proper orbit, then the planet went down to the bottom of the universe into the Garbhodak ocean. And it was the Lord in the form of a boar who came and picked up the earth planet. So the presiding deity of the earth, Bhumi, naturally she's worshipping the Lord for saving her. Also the words used here, bhakti yogena, that they are worshipping unfailing devotional service. That's very nice. That words bhakti yogena. This term is used all throughout the Vedic scriptures. Bhakti. Bhakti means loving devotion. And that is the recommended process for achieving the spiritual world. If one does not know how to engage in bhakti yogena, then he will not be able to enter into the planets of the Lord personally, because they're all engaged in bhakti yoga. That is the qualification. The jnanis, they cannot enter into the planets of the Lord. They can only remain if they become perfect in their meditation upon the impersonal Brahman. They can remain outside in the effulgence, but they cannot enter until they develop that bhakti. It's not possible. Not karma, not jnana, and even the yoga process has to be mixed with bhakti. Simply a meditation for getting mystic powers is not sufficient. One has to develop a mood of devotion and love, at least some awe and reverence. That is also considered within the realm of bhakti, shantiras, the neutral relationship. There are many different relationships that one can have with the Supreme Lord, and none of them are better than the others. They're all on the absolute platform. No one can say that the cow is not as good as the cow serving Krishna, who's milk is being drunk by Krishna. Sometimes he would even suck directly the teats of the cow. Well, how can you say she's not as good as another servant? This is bringing in the material conception. Or the grass. The grass is in ecstasy in Vrindavan where Krishna is walking. And the flute. And the water in the river Jamuna. What to speak of the damsels of Vrindavan, or the uncles, or the other cowherd men, or the cowherd boys. It's all on the transcendental platform. Sometimes, persons who are not properly educated in these spiritual matters try to make distinctions. This devotee is better than that devotee. And this rasa, what rasa are you? well, I'm in this rasa, or this is premature. They should not be too eager to artificially establish their rasa. That will be revealed to one when he advances in devotional service, when he reaches the higher levels. Then, when one is in spontaneous love for Krishna, then Krishna will reveal himself more and more to the devotee, and he will reveal his relationship. Another interesting point here is that it's described, the word is used eternally. Aste, the Lord is existing there eternally to be worshipped. Now I'm going to read the next text. Om namo bhagavate mantra tattva lingaya yagya kratave maha dvara vayavaya mahapurushaya namak karma shuklaya triyugaya namaste. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. You are yajna, sacrifice, and you are kratu, ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body. And you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Triyuga because in Kali Yuga you appeared as a concealed incarnation. And because you always fully possess the three pairs of opulences. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for this age of Kali, as confirmed in many places throughout the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Upanishads. The summary of his appearance is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 6.99, as follows. Kali Yuga Lilavatar Nakare Bhagavan Ateva Triyuga Kori Kahi Taranam. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhagavan does not appear as a Lila avatar, an incarnation to display pastimes. Therefore, he is known as Triyuga. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age of Kali as a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he is called a concealed incarnation, Channa Avatar. This is a nice description of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a discussion that went on between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his brother-in-law Gopinath. And the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a staunch devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, he claimed that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not agree. Even though he was a Mayavadi and impersonalist, he would argue on the basis of the scriptures. That's how this discussion went on. But Gopinath said that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he showed evidence. There's one verse, maybe someone knows all the Sanskrit, Hemanga. I don't remember the Sanskrit for that verse. A very nice verse which describes the Mahabharata, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is golden in complexion. His body is smeared with sandalwood. He will take the fourth order, the renounced order of life. He will be dancing in ecstasy. He will be very renounced. This description is given in Mahabharata. And in other places, other scriptures, it describes how the Lord will appear as the son of Mother Sachi, and he will propagate the chanting of the holy name. So then the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, but there is no incarnation of the Lord in Kali Yuga. That's why the Lord is known as Triyuga. Triyuga means he appears in only three yugas. But Gopinath described that yes, he does not appear, he's called Triyuga because he appears in three yugas overtly, openly. But in the fourth yuga, he appears as Channa Avatar, covered incarnation. He doesn't reveal himself as the personality of Godhead. In fact, when he was addressed as Vishnu, don't step over the flowers, Haribol boys. When you walk over, don't step over them, walk around them. So, when he was addressed as Vishnu, he would cover his ears. He did not want to be addressed, even though he appreciated that some devotees recognized who he was. Still, because he was playing a different role, he was playing the role as a devotee. He said, please, I am an ordinary jiva, do not refer to me in this way, do not praise me. If an ordinary soul is described as being God, that is actually blasphemy, because if a person is glorified for qualifications he doesn't have, that's another form of blasphemy. Just like if I say to you, oh, here he is, the President of the United States. It's a kind of insult. He's not actually the President. I'm mocking him in a sense that he's less than the President. So, to call someone God when he's not is another form of insult. Unfortunately, some foolish persons, they like this. They like to be addressed as God. And they believe it. But actually, it's a great insult. Now, the most important verse which describes Lord Chaitanya is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How does it begin? In the last portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Akrishnam. Shakrishnam. Krishnavarnam Tvishakrishnam Sangopangascha Parshanam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasa. That in the Kali Yuga, the Lord appears not in his original blackish form as Krishna, but in his golden form. Krishnavarnam Tvishakrishnam Sangopangascha Parshanam. He appears along with his associates who are also his weapons, Sankirtana Praya, and he propagates the Sankirtan movement, chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And this is a very direct description of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there are many others. But one should not doubt whether Lord Chaitanya was actually God himself. He's actually Krishna. All the acharyas have accepted this from the time of Lord Chaitanya. We are coming in the line, the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And all the acharyas in this line have accepted, including Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, all these great stalwart worshippers of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya, if that's not sufficient, the scriptural evidence and the fact that so many Vaishnavs accept him. Although that should be sufficient. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Because if one thinks, well, I will just study the Vedas myself and I will understand everything. No, he'll become confused. Or if he tries to speculate and figure it out, he'll become bewildered. So one should hear from the great personalities. The absolute truth is found there. But still, if one is not convinced, then the histories such as Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, they describe how Lord Chaitanya sometimes revealed himself as God. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. He revealed himself to Ramananda Roy as Radha Krishna. And in the house of Murari Gupta, he showed himself as the Varaha incarnation. He became overwhelmed with ecstasy discussing the boar incarnation. And so then he actually appeared in that form, right in the house of Murari Gupta. And he also revealed himself in six features to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That is called Sadbhuj. In the Sadbhuj, six-armed form, he has two blue arms playing the flute, two green arms carrying bow and arrow, and two yellow arms or golden arms carrying a water pot and a sannyas ekadanda staff, Lord Chaitanya. He revealed all these things. And one time he was so absorbed in protecting his devotees that he even invoked his Sudarshan Chakra to kill the rogues, Jagai and Madhai. That was a kind of giveaway when he did that. But anyway, to protect his devotees, he even is willing to not execute his own desire, or his own promises sometimes are broken.
Blew his cover.
Yes. He preferred not to have to do that, but these demons, they created such a disturbance that he personally came there to kill them. So that is the Lord's pastime, that he interacts. He gives everyone free will to act. So if someone wants to be a demon, that is the choice of the individual. Krishna doesn't force one person to become a demon and another person to become a devotee. Sometimes people say like that, well, it is my karma to be like the way I am. It is my karma that I am a non-devotee. And it is your karma that you've become a devotee, that you've surrendered to Krishna. When maybe my karma will change, then I will. Yes. But the thing is, in order to change one's karma, that is up to the individual. He is not forced. Krishna is asking Arjuna to please surrender to him. He did not force him. He did not take away his free will. He could, if he wished, he's God, he could overpower anyone or force them to do whatever he likes. But that's not the way Krishna works. He prefers to convince them with sound logic and argument. He prefers to convince them by playing on his flute. He's a very gentle person, Krishna. He's very aristocratic. He doesn't force himself. You must do what I say. And he gives them. And he tries to attract them to serving him by giving them nice prasadam, by dressing himself very attractively. Why does he do that? He doesn't have to dress himself at all. He's still all attractive, but he likes to dress himself. That's his pastime. He enjoys that relationship. I'll dress very nicely so Srimati Radharani will be attracted. Isn't it? He wants to attract her. And the gopis, how are they thinking? We'll dress ourselves very nicely so that we can attract Krishna. Krishna wants to attract Radharani, and Radharani wants to attract Krishna. So, just like we dress Krishna very nicely, because that will attract us to him. If we see the Lord dressed very nicely, then we become attracted. Oh, Krishna's so beautiful, let me go. You see that? Even sometimes people fall away from the strict principles of bhakti yoga, but still they want to come and go in and see the deity dressed very nice. This inspires one in devotional service. And similarly, the devotee wants to dress very nicely, clean clothes, nice tilak. Why? So he can attract Krishna by his devotion. Krishna is attracted. Srila Prabhupada said that one who wears very nice tilak, that is a sign of a nice devotee. Well, these simple things, they're important, because the whole goal is to please Krishna. Everything that we do, every moment of every day, should be to please Krishna. We should be thinking, is what I'm going to do now, is this going to be pleasing to Krishna? And how do we know how to please Krishna? Well, we have so many instructions from the scriptures. All the acharyas have given us so much information how to please Krishna. If you're not sure how to please Krishna, or if you're not sure whether what you're doing is pleasing Krishna, read Nectar of Devotion. It's all described there. That is the handbook for the Vaishnavas. Dancing in ecstasy before the Lord, taking Charanamrita, wearing tulsi neck beads, chanting japa, living in a holy place, worshipping the tulsi plant. So many descriptions, so many things are given there. What not to do, what to do. Don't step over the Lord's prasadam or the sacred articles or flowers. Everything should be very clean. These things will regulate us. If we follow them, we'll become lovers of Krishna. That's what happens by serving Krishna. By associating with Him, we develop our love for Him so that we can go back and join Him. We may wish to join Him in the form of Lord Varaha. As Mother Earth and other devotees, they're completely satisfied associating with Lord Varaha and serving Him. That is their transcendental ecstasy. And some devotees, they like to worship Lord Ram, Ramachandra. They're very much attracted. So that is very nice. Although sometimes Lord Chaitanya, in his pastimes, he would try to convince those who were Ram Bhaktas to become Radha Krishna Bhaktas. You know that? Sometimes. He wanted to bring them into a even more ecstatic relationship. And sometimes the devotees, they would not budge. There was one devotee, I think, was it Murari Gupta? Yes. Well, Lord Chaitanya was encouraging him, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Why don't you become a devotee of Krishna? And he wanted to, he agreed, but then all night long he couldn't sleep, he felt terrible. And afterwards he cried all night and he told Lord Chaitanya, I'm sorry, I just cannot give up the worship of Raghupati, of Lord Ramachandra. So then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, because you are the incarnation of Hanuman. Anyway, that is on the transcendental platform. Any relationship or any rasa with any of the different forms of the Lord, they're all completely satisfying. But we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
You're making a point about the Lord being dressed nicely in the deity form. I was hearing Prabhupada speak just recently on a tape in this regard. Very nice example that Prabhupada gave. Just like the living entity, he is very happy if he gets some new clothes. Maybe a new shirt, or new pants, or new shoes, whatever. And then he walks, he goes over to his friend's house and they all say, you really like your new shoes or your new tie or whatever. So it's just like the living entity derives pleasure. Actually, Krishna derives pleasure when the public devotees come and they say, oh, Krishna, look at Krishna, he has his new outfit. And Krishna feels very good. Oh, everyone's seeing my new outfit. They're really liking how I look in my new outfit. They're liking how my new outfit looks. And Krishna becomes very, very happy that everyone's really looking at him and appreciating how he looks in his new outfit.
He likes to be the center of attraction.
Yeah, he really does.
Yes, Chaitanya.
I like, you know, the comparison between the Christian philosophy and our philosophy in regards to, when you were speaking earlier about Lord Chaitanya, didn't reveal himself as God and didn't want to be known as God. So the Christians say that Jesus Christ was God, and Jesus, and we say that if Jesus didn't reveal himself as God, but then we use the same, you see what I mean, we're using the same argument. You know, we're using this argument to say Jesus wasn't God, and then we turn around and prove that Lord Chaitanya was. And they were both, they say, hey.
Well, the difference is that we have to consult the Vedic scriptures if we want to understand about the Lord's incarnations. No one should be accepted as an incarnation of God unless he's described in the revealed scriptures. No one can manufacture a new one. So there is description of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, that he would actually come, that Krishna would come in this particular form as his own devotee to taste that. Plus, we also have to hear the understanding of the great advanced acharyas, those who are on the highest platform of devotional service. They can reveal more to us. Well, but there is no description in the Vedic scriptures of that particular person you're describing as being a direct incarnation of the Lord. Although he may be accepted as Shaktivesha-avatar. Shaktivesha-avatar means an incarnation of the Lord. The Lord invests a specific power within one of his jivas, one of his living entities, and he sends him down. Therefore he's called avatar, one who descends. But he empowers him so that he can act on behalf of the Lord. So we accept Lord Jesus Christ as Shaktivesha avatar. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not Shaktivesha avatar. He's Krishna himself. That's not the type of thing we discuss in the beginning, a debate about whether Jesus is God or Lord Chaitanya is God. I wouldn't suggest that in the beginning. That takes some purification to be able to understand the subtleties. First of all, Prabhupada would always tell the Christians that you accept Lord Jesus Christ as God or Son of God, whichever, but he said, thou shalt not kill, so why are you eating meat? Why don't you follow his instructions? In other words, unless they're following the instructions of their master, whether he be God or the Son of God, what is the use in it? If I say he's God, but I don't follow his instructions, then am I going to make any benefit? In fact, it's even more disrespectful. If I say he's God himself, the Almighty, the perfect, supreme being, well then why don't you follow his instructions? So better they become a little educated in some of the basics. You should follow God's instructions. You're not this material body, you're spirit soul. You're not supposed to engage in sense gratification. Chant the names of the Lord. Then these things can be revealed. Otherwise, it's not so easy to understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It requires some advancement. That's why we see even in India, where people are basically devotees of the Lord, of Krishna, but not so many understand Lord Chaitanya yet. Because it's not so easy to understand Lord Chaitanya. But by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and his sincere devotees, it's becoming easier. And Lord Chaitanya predicted, Prithiviti achayata nagaradigram sarvatra prachoy hoibi morana, that my name will be known in every town and village in the world. That is the Sankirtan movement. Even if we accept him, sometimes Prabhupada say, all right, as good as God in that sense, still Father and Son are different. The Father, the Son cannot act like the Father.
Yes.
Yes, it's another form of impersonalism. Let's make God's Son and God the same. There are distinctions. All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.